down for this. Amendment Samad Aleph, yesterday we ran through the Gemara briefly about Lachmanios. If you have Pasa Babi Kisni, the Baraka normally is Mizrainas, thus he Kaveh Sudan, and then it becomes Hamakhi. And the Brisa, the Gemara, remember the name of Shmuel, that you can use these Lachmanios for Erev Echatzeris. We pointed out yesterday the din normally is that Erev Echatzeris can only be made with Pas, with Lechem. Shituf and Mavuas and Erev Etchumen can be all Machol and Bakol Miyarvan. That's the name of the third parak in Erev. And Bakol Miyarvan goes on Erev Etchumen and Shituf and Mavuas. But Erev Echatzeris and Machloik is Hatanoim, we pass and Dabke the Pas. So how come Lachmanius is good? So the answer is season. If one would have been Kaveh Sudan, it would have been Hamoitzis, even though you're not eating it at all. You're setting it aside. The service, the Erev Echatzeris, that's considered Pas. Pas Ababakistan is a subcategory of Pas. So this is Negel HaHalacha also with respect to Bishul Akum. We have a din of Bishul Akum, we have a din of Pasakum. So we have a heter and Pasakum that does not apply to Bishul Akum, namely Paspalter. If it's
baker.
Baker. If the baker bakes bread for the whole public, the whole prohibition of Pasakum and Bishul Akum is because of Chasnus. It may lead to intermarriage. But if the baker bakes the bread for the whole public, everybody buys his bread. Jews and non-Jews, everybody buys his bread. So there's no reason that I specifically should fall in love with his daughter, I should marry his daughter. So then we are makel. Why are we makel by Pas Palter and by Bishul Palter, we're not makel? Because years ago, ala lechem yechiyahadim, because bread was, that's a paraphrase of the Pasuk in Chumash, lo ala lechem lebado yechiyahadim, but in Shulchan Aruch they quote the expression, ala lechem yechiyahadim, the bread was the main course of the meal. That's like along the lines of Rashi. That they would eat bread together with the soup, and eat bread together with the chicken, eat bread together with the vegetable salad, they ate bread together with everything. So since pas is so important in Haladech Nirayodam, so that's why the Chachamim were making on the pas palter. So the shad is, what if you have cakes or cookies that are baked by a palter, sold to the public? It's not lechem, it's a nash. You can't say ala cookies yichyodam. Bread is ala lechem yichyodam, not on cookies. So the Tosfos in the beginning of the second perek in Beitzah, Mar has a little bit of a discussion there of Bishul Akum. So Tosfos there quotes in the name of one of the Baalei HaTosfos, and this is quoted La'aloch and Yeredeya, that just like we are makel on pas palter on bread, so too are makel on pas ababakistan that was baked by a palter. If the nature of the pas ababakistan is such that it's lachmanius, that if he would have been kaveh sudan, he would have said amoitzi, so then it's called pas. It's a subcategory of pas. Since officially pas palter is mutter, so this is also considered pas palter. So that's the same as the Erev Echatzeris. Even though Erev Echatzeris, he's not eating the lachmanius, but since theoretically, if it would have been kaveh sudan, he would have said amoitzi, it's called lechem, it's called pas, so too when they get pas palter, we have the heta. It's a stretch by pas palter. You can say the whole reason why there's more of a heta by pas palter than by bishul palter is because ala lechem yichyodim, cookies, that logic doesn't apply. So we are makel with the stretch. The Ramah, I don't know if the Svardim also follow that kula. The Ramah quotes this from the Baalei HaTosfos, and then we're makel on that. The same as benigya techiyah chala. We discussed it when we learned the previous parak. The pasuk says, v'yabachochen melechem haaretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to be mafresh challah if you're going to bake lechem. What if you're making cake or cookies? That's not lechem. So the answer is it is. If someone is making spaghetti, someone is making wheatina or something that even if you eat a ton of it, you won't say hamoitzi on it, so then you're not chayv to be mafresh challah. But if you're baking cake or cookies or bread, such a thing that if you would have been kabezud, you would have said amoitzi, so that indicates that it is lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. So then, it's chayv and afrosh eschal, or ebachochem in lechem ha'aretz. Dor HaShulchan is the one who adopted that position from the Rabbeinu Yoin in the beginning of Ketzer Mevarchim, that if you have cake or cookies that you always eat as a nash, you never kaveh sudan it. He says it's normally eaten as a nash, so you're not chayv mechalos. So maybe he should say that you can't make Erev Echatzeris. I don't know. I don't think we follow that Aruch HaShulchan and Hilchas HaFrosh Eschal. Okay, we have the Mishnah Mem Beis Amid Aleph towards the bottom of the daf. Mishnah says birach ala pas poter es apaperis. That's the whole discussion that the Amoraim had on Mem Aleph and Beis. Advar ma boy machnas asura b'torch asura covered with the amoitzi. But the reverse birach ala paperis like poter es apas. What does it mean birach ala paperis? So Rashi says paperis is chicken or fish. So chicken or fish, he says shahakol. So what's the chiddush? If he said shahakol, it doesn't cover loy poter es apas. The din is b'di'evit. If you say shahakol on bread, you'll be yotze. That's if you had bread and you said shahakol. But if I had a drink of Coca-Cola earlier and I had a mind with the shahakol to cover anything and everything, that shahakol. And then later on, I decided I want to have bread, so that's going to cover. That's only like Rashi said. We had the Rashi yesterday. You say adama on fruits. They have a fruit in front of you. You say adama yotze. But you say adama on potatoes. Normally, that will not cover fruits here. Also, what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? So that's why Tosfos reinterprets. Tais is not happy with Rashi. Tais doesn't think paperis means chicken or fish. Tais thinks paperis means some kind of a bread that was treated in such a way that it became a mezainis bread. Mezainis rolls. Okay. So if you have mezainis rolls and you have real rolls, a birach ala paperis, you say bar min mezainis, one would have thought that this is bread and this is bread. And b'di'evid mezainis is good on bread. If you made a mistake and you said mezainis on bread is good, so one might have thought birach ala paperis pateres apas, because basically they're both two forms of bread. That's what the Mishnah says. No, even in such a case, also by pater.
Does the Shagas already say also what he says about charcoal on mezonah?
I thought the machlekes, the mechaber, and the Shagas would have applied to mezainis as well.
But in that case, what's the chiddush according to Shagas in this gemara, in this Mishnah?
What do you mean, what's the Shagasari? I wouldn't have had a Hava of being closer to the Chas, because the only case is if it was a bracha of a Tala. So here it wouldn't have been a bracha of a... Maybe that's what the Mishnah is telling me. But the Shagasari said, such a good idea, it says in the Mishnah. Right, but the Shagasari says it's so elementary that the Mishnah doesn't have to die. It's telling me what the Shagasari said. Either tell me what the Shagazari said or what the Mechaber said. Either Birach ala Paperis, either he said Shahakul, he said Mezainis. According to Rashi, Shahakul, according to Tosfos, Mezainis. So according to the Mechaber, the Pshat and the Mishnah is, he said Shahakul Mezainis. He didn't have a mind explicitly on the bread. So then, like Potter, but if he has a mind explicitly, then it wouldn't cover the bread. According to the Shagazari, even if he has a mind explicitly that the Shahakul or the Mezainis on the Paperis should cover the bread, it still won't cover the bread. However, Chol Market is late. They'll read the Mishnah like that. Yeah, then we had the Mishnah we discussed many times. Hesebu, okay? We won't repeat it. Must be coming out of your ears already. Okay. Well, Al Yam Ter Hamazon, if they serve wine in the middle of the meal, so we don't allow one person to say, Baruch Yagov and to be Moisi, everybody, even though you have Hesebu. And on Pasvi Yayin, we Paskin that Hesebu helps. So why can't you have one person say the Bracha? So the Gemara says, because Ein Beis Abliya Panui. We're afraid that someone's going to choke. Hell based up upon it. That's what the Yeshalu has Ben Zayma. Why Ben Zayma was in the days of the Tanaim? Why is there such a din? So he says, we're afraid. You're not allowed to talk to someone in the middle of a meal. So that I'm going to say Bar Priyagofen, and then all the other people are going to say Amen. So they may choke. They may be in the middle of eating. So we don't allow one person to be Moitzi everybody else. Unless it's Lachar Amazon. Unless we know for sure that no one is eating any food now. Then they're serving wine. So then we would permit one person to say Bar Piagof and to be Moitzi everybody else. What's the story with the Mugmer? An interesting din in the Mishnah that you say Hamaschal b'mitzu omim lo gemor. If they were mechabit someone to perform a certain mitzvah, let's say they mechabit someone, he should bench mezuman. And then in the middle they decide they don't like the niggun that he's singing. So they're going to switch in the middle. They're going to ask someone else to take over from Rachim Noah for the last two brachas of the bench. So that's not right. Don't mechabit him. So he has the right. He has the schus to finish the whole mitzvah. What if melchatchila they said we're being mechabit you to bench mezumen the first bracha, and in the next time we're going to be mechabit four different people? That's why we had the riff on Dr. Vav and Manal quoted by the Tosfos. You can break up the birchas hamazon b'mezumen to how many people, to the number of people that you have the number of brachas. So if Malachatchila, they told him, Roli Mechabed you for Tila Zanas HaKol, next one Mechabed you should say Nodilcha, next one say Rachim, okay. But if Malachatchila, they were Mechabed him Stoma, to bench Mezumin, and then in the middle they want to take it away. So that's the din, Amaschal B'mitzvah, Amalagamar. If they're Mechabed him for the beginning, so it's self-understood, he goes to the end. So the Mishnah has a fascinating Chiddush. The one who is honored to say Bar Priyagofen, or the one who is honored to say bench mezuman, he has the right to say bari atzib samin, bari midim samin, whatever brach it is. They used to burn incense after the meal, and they used to inhale to smell the fragrant reach. So Rashi says they would say bari atzib samin. The Gemara has different. Sometimes they atzib is big, bari midim samin, different brachas. So the one who is given the covet to bench mezuman, the one who given the covet to they say bar piagofen, when they were drinking wine before they're about to bench mezuman, so he it's self understood, unless they told him lachatchila nasa, self understood. Amaschem mitzvah am la gemara. Shulchan Aruch they quote this. The Ramah quotes in Hilchas Slichas that the one who is given the right to say slichas in the morning, the gabbai has to determine. You're not allowed to serve as the shliach tzibur without authorization of the tzibur. So every time you want to go daven shachris mincha ma'av, you have to go take a vote. It'll take forever. So you have a gabbai, and the gabbai represents the tzibur, and he picks out who should daven for anon. So if the gabbai was mechabit someone to say slichas, it's self-understood, he has the right to daven shachris, to be a shliach tzibur for shachris and for mincha. Why? So the Mogan Avram says the reason for this Rambo is hamaschal b'mitzvah amam lo gemar. So that's questionable. What's the connection between slichas and shachris and mincha? That's amar la gemar, because he daven for anam at shachris, he has the right to daven mincha. That's many hours later. That's not one after the other. The shachris is right after they finish slichas, they start shachris. Okay, but that's like over here, even though they're two separate units, even though the bar piagofen is one unit and benchem mezuman is a second unit and the brachan and mugmar is a third unit, but it comes one after the other. So that's hamaschal b'mitzvah amar la gemar, even though it's a separate unit. But the daven mincha, it's in Gansan a separate unit and it's way later. So that's why in the Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo by Rav Shlomo Levilna, he disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He doesn't think that that's the reason for that Rambo. He thinks that the reason why the one who says Slichas has the right to Dan Paranam and Mincha is because this is a reward that he woke up on time for Slichas. A lot of times when you start saying Slichas, there's no minyan, because it's used to say Slichas at 4 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night. So and someone should get up and have his talis on ready to say Slichas, so we got to give him a yashikar, so we have to give him a bonus. So apparently this was considered a bonus, that we're going to have him serve as the Shlech Tzibah to daven Mincha as well. He gives a parallel that there's a Mishnah in Megillah, where the Mishnah has such a practice, that in the days of the Tanoim, it was considered a kovet to get an aliyah, but it was considered a nuisance to get maftir. Today, the Balkori lanes the Kriyas HaTorah. So the only thing where the Oilel HaTorah can sing away is maftir. So today is considered a big spiel. People want to get maftir. They want to show how well they can sing. But in the days of the Tanoim, maftir was a nuisance. So a guy didn't want to get maftir. He wanted that. That was considered an insignificant aliyah. It was considered a bizoyan to get maftir. So the Mishnah says that the one who agrees to accept maftir, we got to give him a bonus. We got to let him daven paris al hashma. A maftir benavi who paris al hashma. Whoever agrees in advance that he's going to say maftir, so we have to give him a bonus, so we let him daven for anam at shachris. So that's what Reb Shlomo Levilna thinks. What's that kapshat? How can the Magen Avraham say that this is hamaschal b'mitzvah lo gemar? Because he said slichas, okay, so davening shachris is one thing, but to daven musa, to daven mincha is way later. What does that have to do? Reb Soloveitchik thought that maybe the pshat is like this. He would always give very startling mishalim. So he would give, like his grandfather, Rav Chaim, he said, would always give very startling mishalim. A man wants to divorce his wife, he gives a get, he puts a get in his left hand, and then he cuts off his hand and he throws it onto his wife's arm. So he said, Rav Chaim gave such a mishalim. He would give very startling mishalim to bring out a point. So Rav Soloveitchik would also give a funny mishalim. He was good at making up mishalim. So he said, let's say a person wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning and says slichas, and then after slichas he goes to sleep and he sleeps through the whole day, doesn't daven shachris, doesn't daven mincha, doesn't daven marav. But there he said slichas. So he was mekayim the minig of slichas. Said no, he wasn't mekayim even the minig of slichas. Said slichas is the introduction to the tefillas hayom. Not only did he daven shachris and mincha, and maybe ma'ariv is also considered tefillas hayom. That's a question. What's the seder? The different opinions. Which ma'ariv? It says the one who says slichas davens ma'ariv also. So which ma'ariv is that? The ma'ariv from the next day, the ma'ariv the night before. So the two versions in the Achronim, what the minig is, yeah. So some say that when you wake up in the morning, you start to daven shacharis, mincha, and ma'ariv. That's the seder hayom of the tefillas. That's what some say. So the idea of slichus is, Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe this is pshat the Magen Avraham, that is hamaschem and mitzvah mulag mar. Maybe the idea of slichus is that this is the introduction to the tefillas hayom, and if a person will say slichus, then he won't daven at all shacharis. In mincha and ma'ariv, then he wouldn't be yotze the slichas. In that sense, the slichas is a haschola for all of the tefillas. So it's literally hamaschol and mitzvah amul gemar. That's like benching mezumin. The mechaber, the person, he should bench mezumin, and then in the middle, they want to take it away. Someone else should take over for noy delucho. But if originally they gave him, they told him say the first bracha, that's self understood. He says till the end of the whole benching, because that's mamish one unit. Here it's also one unit. The slichas is the hakdome, the psicha to the tefillas ayom. So that's why there's possibly a connection between slichas and mincha, even though it's many hours later. Anyway, that's the question on that Ramah. What is that Ramah based on? The idea of maschal mitzvah mula gemar is based on this Mishnah. That's how Rashi writes. Yishberuch alayan shehischil goimron, whoever began should finish.
What does it say by Kiyas Shofar, right? The one who blows the
tears,
the
Yushev,
should be the one who blows the
tears. Hamas Chemetz Amla is not a, it's not that it's more mahudr for the tzibur to have one person say Slicha Shachris and Mincha. No, it's just if we gave him the schus to say the first, so Bistoma it's included, it's a schus mamanus. So here we have a schus over certain mitzvahs. Like there's a Mishnah in the middle of Gittin. Mishnah lists off a series of Mishnahis that have takanas from Tikkun Olam. So one of the Mishnahis says, if they always, there's an apartment building and they have an Erev, and they always left the Erev in Mr. Shuster's apartment. So for many years, they always left the Erev in his apartment. So the next year, they have a big rabbi moves into the building, so they're not allowed to take away the kovet from Mr. Shuster. They have to continue leaving the Erev in his apartment, lest someone will think that he did some Avera and he's no longer worthy of guarding the Erev. So the Mishnah has, he has a schus to have the Erev in his house. Or the Poskim talk about a schus and a mitzvah. A person was always the Baal Tekeya, so they're not allowed to take it away from him. He has a schus. So here also, this is a schus and mitzvah. Schus and mitzvah. Based on that Mishnah and Gittin. So this is also a schus and a mitzvah. If the mechabed you, if the mechabed you to bench mezumin, so you have the schus to bench to the whole end of the mezumin. If melechatchila they want to divide up the bench of mezumin to four different people, so there's nothing wrong with that. There is no din mitzvah ligmaris ha mitzvah al yedei zeh shehischil bo. It's not a mitzvah mo b'shlei musa. No, whoever was given the kovet to begin, unless they told him in advance, this is only in the beginning. We don't give you the schus to say noy delucha. But if they didn't tell him one way or the other, so it's self understood that he has the schus to perform the entire mitzvah. Maschal mitzvah on the Gemara is like a schus, a moment dik schus that he has the right to do that mitzvah.
This idea that the one who davens lichos also gets to daven shacharis mincha. Does that mean he could push off a chiyuv?
Like it says he can even push off a chiyuv. And the official explanation that they give is that the tzibu would prefer to have him daven farnom and then to have the chi of daven farnom because he daven slichas and hamaschal mitzvah umlagmar. It's really up to the tzibu. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Really up to the tzibu. If the tzibu would prefer to have the chi of daven farnom, let him have the chi.
What about?
Right. So if we make up our minds in advance that we're going to give to different people, and we announce when mechabed so and so with the first bracha. So we told him we're only giving him the first bracha. If we would have said when mechabed so and so to recite birchas nisuin, and then after he starts saying a couple of brachas, we don't like his niggin, he has a different kind of a niggin, so then it's not right to switch in the middle. We already gave him the kibbutz, so he can't take it away. But if melechatchila, before we even began, we said we're giving him the kibbutz to say the first two brachas, first three brachas. So we only gave him the first three. The same as by Bench and Mezumah. We say in advance, we're going to give you the first book, I'm going to give you the second book, I'm going to give him the third book. So then Bilachatrila, he only got that schus. And Shulchan Aruch is such a din. When they appoint a gabbai in a shul, so the Ramah and Yerideh has like this. If they, every year they appoint a different, they have a shul, has a membership meeting, and they elect gabbaiim for the year. So they elected this man as a gabbai for this year. Then next year we'll vote again to see whether we want to elect him a second year as a gabbai. So his position was only for that 1 year. What if he elected the person a gabbai, and the minig amokim is not that they switch every year? They appoint a gabbai, and he stays in position as long as he's able to function well. So then they have no right to get rid of him, to get rid of him next year. He was appointed to the position, so he has a right. He has the schus to hold on to that mitzvah of serving as the gabbai, like the schus to serve as the bal tefillah, the bal tekeah, as long as he's able to. Same thing by rabbinical position. If a rabbi is appointed, say, in Western Europe, the practice was, and in America the practice is, to give a rabbi a 2-year contract, a 3-year contract, a 5-year contract, whatever. And then we'll see. We don't appoint a rabbi for life. In Eastern Europe, they always used to appoint a rabbi, and that was it. It was assumed that he was appointed for life. Then if you wanted to get rid of him, so you had to have a whole impeachment procedure to prove that he's not worthy of being a rabbi. He doesn't prepare well for his drushes, and he says stupid things, and he passes wrong, and he's not medaktik mitzvah. You have to have a whole court case to get rid of your rabbi. But if they only melechatchila, they only appointed him as a rabbi for a number of years, so there's no shaila. That's like the gabbai, who was only appointed for the year or 2 years, and then after the zman is up, the appointment is off. Then the Gemara says this discussion on membeis and membeis. The Mishnah said birach al hayayin shelefnei hamazon pater b'sayayin shebetoch hamazon. No, it doesn't say that. It says birach al hayayin shelefnei hamazon. There are three kinds of wine: yayin shelefnei hamazon, yayin shebetoch hamazon, yayin shelachar hamazon. So the Mishnah says birach al hayayin shelefnei hamazon pater b'sayayin shelachar hamazon. What about birach al hayayin shebetoch hamazon? Is that pater b'sayayin shelachar hamazon? So that's a machlekes amar raim of the Gemara. So the Gemara presents it as a machlekes between Rav and Talmidei de Rav. The Rav holds that it does pater birach bar piagofen on the yain shebetoch hamazon. It does pater the yain shelachar hamazon, and the Talmidei de Rav disagree. What's going on? Talmidei of Rav disagree with Rav. That's an interesting one. So Tosfos says no. The Talmidei of Rav must have heard that Rav changed his mind, or that it was a misquotation. Tosfos writes, they must have heard from Rav like that. This Tosfos on Mem Beis on Mem Beis, where Rav Sheshes, Tosfos gives you two klolim that contradict each other over here. In this case, whenever there's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, so we pass like Rav and Nisa, they had to like Shmuel and Dini Mominis, so then we should pass like Rav over here. That Bira Halayan Shibetech Hamazon, that's part of the Yan Shalach Hamazon, because this is Isa, they had to be passed like Rav. But then we have a klal in Erevin. Whenever there's machlekes Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, so we pass on Hilchizik Rav Nachman Bedine, because Rav Nachman was Dainu Benochus Lumka the Dine, his expertise was Nizikin, and Rav Sheshes was an expert in Arachaim and Yeridah. He was an expert in Issa Vehedda. So here Rav Sheshes says that Bor Piagofen on the wine Toch HaMozen does not part of the wine after the Mozen. And Rav holds that it does part of the wine. So we have a contradiction in the Kalali HaPsak. So what should you follow? So Taisa says, no, the Gemara records that all the Talmidei de Rav hold like Rav Sheshes. So where did Talmidei Rav come off to argue with their Rebbe? Today it's very common. Talmidim disagree with the Rebbe. It's no problem.
Disagree with his reveal?
Yes, yes. But apparently in the days of the Gemara it was an unusual thing. So Tosfos claims that this, it must be the Talmidei de Rav are not disagreeing with Rav. They must have heard this from Rav. Mistama kachshama mirav. So Rav must have changed his mind. Okay, so Tosfos says that's the Psak Halacha. That we pass from Halacha that the Yain Shebetoch HaMazon is lishvos, and the yain shelach hamazon is lishtos. So birach bar piagofen on the yain shebetoch hamazon does not cover the yain shelach hamazon. What if the reverse? What if birach hayain shelefnei hamazon does not cover the yain shebetoch hamazon? So Tosfos says there were those who wanted to say that just like this doesn't cover, that doesn't cover either. So Tosfos says, nah, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. Lishros is less chashuv than lishtos, but lishtos is more chashuv than lishros. So birach al hayayin shelefnei hamazon certainly covers the yayin shebetoch hamazon. And Tosfos refers you to Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Aleph. They're proving that this is correct. What if a person says kiddush? So when he drinks that wine, says bar piagofen over the kiddush, that's yayin shelefnei hamazon. So and then he wants to drink wine in the middle of the meal, that's yayin shebetoch hamazon. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Aleph, where there is a double machlekes amaroyim. One machlekes is whether in kiddush ala b'makom suda or not. Can you be yotze kiddush when you? The Chazan says kiddush in shul. So is everybody yotze kiddush when they go home? They can wash and stay hamotzi right away. They say no, in kiddush ala b'makom suda. So we pass an in kiddush ala b'makom suda. That's one machlekes. Then there's another machlekes does Shinui Makom require an additional bracha? The Chachamim required every time you have Achila, Hanoas Achila, Hanoas Shtio, you have to recite the bracha. And if you have Hesach Hadas, he said, Havlon, and the Baruch Hewashmai Machreinim, got to say a new bracha. That's a Hesach Hadas from Achila. So what if there's no Hesach Hadas, but there's Shinui Makom? They drank wine and shul. They made kiddush. They drank wine and shul. They said bar piagof, and they had in mind that with this bar piagof, and they're gonna continue to drink wine at home. So Rabbi Yechon is of the opinion shinim makom and tzarich lebar. There wasn't a hesach hadas. It goes home right away. So the bar piagof and the shul covers all the wine that he's gonna drink at home. The Gemara says we don't accept Rabbi Yechon's opinion. We pass in shinim makom tzarich lebar. He got to say a new brach. Yeah. Just we explain parenthetically what is called the tikkun rabban kein deraisa tikkun. Where is the makom and the din deraisa to such an idea? That if you start eating here and you continue to eat somewhere else, that that's considered, Shinamakam is considered a new achila. And a new achila, that that person eats, he has to say a bracha. Then when he eats a new kazais, he has to have another bracha. When he eats another kazais, he eats another bracha. There is no such thing. He says a bracha and he eats, then he talks. So when he talks, he has to say a new bracha. He doesn't have to say a new bracha. He's eating everything, it's all a hemshech. All of a sudden, if he eats over here and then he continues to eat somewhere else, he needs a new bracha. That's considered a new achila. Where is there a makom to such an idea that the shinim makom constitutes a new achila and it's equivalent to like a hesach hadas and you got to say a new bracha? So we suggest that based on the din deraisa regarding korban pesach, the Gemara has a machlokes satanoim, and the way we accept la halacha is ein ha'echal ha'echal b'shnei mekomos. Once a person started to eat korban pesach here, he ate a kazayis, then if he's going to walk away, he cannot continue to eat somewhere else, even the same Korban Pesach. Or if he walks away and he's going to come back, he can't continue to eat here. Once he walks away, a Shinim Makom, it's considered a new Achila. We only allow one Achila per customer in the Korban Pesach. You can eat many Kizesim, if you're hungry. So make a Shutfis with a small group of people. Gemara says that the average Korban Pesach used to have 10 partners to eat the Korban Pesach. You can have 20, you can have 2. You can have a guy wants to eat a whole half of a sheep, so eat a half of a Korban Pesach. But so if you want to have many kizesim, that's okay. Figure out in advance how many shutfim you're going to have and how big a share you're going to get from the Korban Pesach. But if you started eating now and then you went to a different location, or you went to another location and want to come back and continue eating here, so then the Gemara paskins like that Tana, Machleg Satana in the Mishnah, a beauty Reb Shimon. So we paskin, Ein Ho'echel Ho'echel B'Shnei Mekaymas. That's considered a new achila. So parallel to that, then we assume here by Birchas Hanenin, if you start eating here and then you continue eating in another place, you walked away, then you come back and want to continue eating here, that's equivalent of it's considered a new achila because of the Shina Makom and Tzarech Levarch. So Tosfos says, true, Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, Afi Deyayin Nami Yotzu. Rabbi Yechanan holds not only are you Yotzu Kiddush, they don't require Kiddush, Mabak Masudi, they Kiddush Yotzu. Even the Deyayin Nami Yotzu, there are different opinions there. Whether you Yotze the Kiddush, you heard Kiddush and Shul, you Yotze, you don't have to repeat Kiddush at home because you can. Yesh Kiddush Alam Makam Suda, no, we Paskin ain't Kiddush Alam Makam Suda. Then there's a second Machlokes, even if one should assume that you are Yotze Kiddush, and everybody had a sip of wine and Shul, what about Shina Makam? If you want to continue to drink wine in the middle of the meal at home, do you need another Bar Piagrofen? So Tosfos says, from the fact, we would have accepted Rabbi Yechanan's opinion about he had a little bit of wine in shul and then he wants to continue having wine at home. Would have accepted his opinion, if not for the fact that Shina Makom Tzarech Levarach. But even if it would be in the same location, what does it help? The Bar Piagofen that he had on the wine that was Koidem Asuda, that's Yain Shelefnei Amazon, and then the wine in the middle of the meal, that's Lishrois. The wine before the meal is Lishtois. So why does the Gemara reject Rabbi Yechanan? Because Shina Yain, Shina Makom Tzarech Levarech, they should be ejected because Zeh Lishtos v'Zeh Lishrois, so it's no good. So you see from the Gemara, that's not a problem. The Lishtos is more chashiv than the Lishrois. So the Bar Piagofen on the Lishtos certainly does cover the Lishrois. The Lishrois doesn't cover the Lishtos. If he says the Bar Piagofen on the wine should be Terech Hasuda, that's the Machlekes. And the Sugya there, we pass him like the Talmid de Rav. That like Rav Sheshes, like Talmid de Rav, that does not cover. So after Tosfos came to this conclusion, that's how we accept La Halacha, that if you said Bar Piagofen on the wine before the meal, it covers all the wine in the middle of the meal. So then Tosfos says, what about a person recites Havdalah Alayayin and he claims to have Malav Malka right away? So he drinks the yayin of Havdalah, that's yayin koidem ha-mazon. Then he's going to have wine in the middle of the meal. Does the bar piagof and then the yayin should koidem ha-mazon cover the yayin shebetech ha-mazon? And that's what they just said, that it does cover. They just explained that it does cover. It's not a problem. So Tosfos says, oh, there are those who have a complaint that it only covers the wine in the middle of the meal if it's kiddush, because the din requires a kiddush alam makom suda. That's the maskona in Pesachim Daf Kuf Aleph, that you have to have kiddush in the same place we're going to eat. So therefore, the wine that you drink is connected with the meal, because ain't kiddush alam makom suda. But Abdullah, there is no such din. Ain't Abdullah alam makom suda. So the wine that you drank before the malama malka has no connection. So if you want to drink wine malama malka, you got to say another broch. Very strange. Mechetese, why? The Mishnah goes on Kiddush. Mishnah doesn't go on Kiddush Bechlal. The Tiruch ala Yayin Shekoidem HaMazon. Does part of the Yayin Shebetech HaMazon. It's not going on a Shabbos or a Yom. It's going on a weekday. Why should you? It's not talking about Kiddush B'Mokum Suda. It's a stop. Very strange opinion. So that's what Tosfos says. There is such an opinion. So then Tosfos says, well, maybe there's room to distinguish that if you first wash until it's Yadayim and then you said Havdalah and then right after that you're going to drink the wine. He's going to taste the Havam Alay Lugmar. Then he's going to sit down right away and say Hamoitzi. He doesn't have to wash until it's Yadayim in between the Havdalah and the Malava Malka. So then maybe it's more connected. So then the Bar Piagofen of the Havdalah maybe should cover the wine that he's going to drink in the middle of Malava Malka. But if he's going to recite Havdalah before he washes until it's Yadayim, maybe there's room to distinguish between the two cases. Maybe. There is such a suggestion. So then Tosfos concludes that the last line of Tosfos, Miru Yeshem Achmirim, Lahavdo Kedem until it's Yadayim, in order to avoid all issues of Machlekes. So if you recite Havdalah before you wash until it's Yadayim, then you say, then for sure you got to say a separate bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal. So it's very strange. Perhaps all of a sudden it became L'chaladeis. How did that become L'chaladeis? The normal shita should have been in such a case that the wine, the bar piagofen over the wine of Havdalah, does cover the wine that you drink in the middle of Malava Malka, even though you didn't wash until after you recited the Havdalah. So somehow, Tosfos quoted there are really three different opinions over here. There's one opinion that even if you said Havdalah before you washed for Malava Malka, the wine from Havdalah, bar piagofen Havdalah does cover the wine you drink in the middle. Another opinion, depends whether you said Havdalah before or after the Tilsa Daim. Third opinion is that even if you said Havdalah after washing Tilsa Daim, because Yesh Havdalah, Shlomo Makom Suda, so the two are not connected, so it doesn't help. So there are three opinions. So Tosfos says, therefore, Yesh Machmirim, that you should bedavka recite the Havdalah before you wash Tilsa Daim. So L'chol Adayis, how did it become L'chol Adayis? The normal Shita they're ignoring. The normal Shita is that the Bar Piagofen on the Havdalah wine that's before you wash until the Siddur does cover the wine you drink in the middle of the meal. It's very strange. That's why it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Machaber quotes this. A recommendation to be machmir, to recite Havdalah before you wash, in order to solve the whole issue. Shain. How does it solve the whole issue? So, Peledik
Atesis. Maybe the while before.
Okay, if you wait, if you go for a walk in between, okay. If you do some homework in between Havdalah and Malava Malka, so then it's fine. So you got to say Ala Gefen, Abrach Achreina, and then you start Malava Malka. You have a pause. Yeah, maybe that's what they mean. Okay, that's what they mean is very good. Then we understand that it's very good. This whole topic that we had over here about Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, about Pas V'Yayin, have a special status if Heseba, Echma Baruch L'Kulam, if Lai Heseba was not, and other foods that Tula Shemus in the Gemara, whether Heseba doesn't even help or you don't even need Heseba, opposite Ben Akotza L'Akotza. So this whole Sugya, the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph and the Sugya Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the whole discussion is within a framework of that principle that the Yerushalmi spelled out, that there are three cases but we don't permit Shamea Kaina. So one of the three is when it comes to brachas in connection with eating food. You ate the food yourself, so you should say the bracha yourself. What about if you're talking about a bracha on a talis, a bracha on a lulav or something, so then you don't need Haseba. And Bichas HaMitzvahs, there's no issue. We say Shamea Kaina. There's no problem, of course. You even say Yotza Maitze. Not only if we're all being Yotza together, if someone does know how to say the bracha on talis and tefillin, someone else can say the bracha for him, even if the other person is not even putting on talis and tefillin. Of course you can say. It's only an issue over here by Birchas Hanen, because by Birchas Hanen, the Yerushalmi said that the implication of the Mishnah, we don't permit Shemekan. So that's why it's problematic. The bottom line in the text is Membeis Amid Aleph. The last two lines, they say, Maishnami Mugmer. Let's say when you say Havdolah, they say Barimini Psalmim. So how's everybody yotzei with the Psalmim, Barimini Psalmim? There's no Haseba. Haseba doesn't help on Barimini Psalmim. So it should depend on the two opinions in the Gemara. Whether on Shara Echlam or Mashkim, whether you don't even need Haseba or Haseba doesn't even help. How can it depend? Everybody does like that. The whole world does like that. One person says Havdolah, everybody's yotzei. They're all yotzei with the Barimini Psalmim. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, like the Tzlach pointed out, that the Gemara needed a new pasuk, that's on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the 10th line from the top. It's a new takanas bracha. It's not included in the opening Mishnah, Ketz Amavrochim, that the Chachamim instituted Birchas Hanenu. It's a new din. It's like a Birchas Shevach. It's not really a Birchas Hanenu. So I would have said that whole passage in Yerushalmi that we don't permit Shemeh Kaine. By Birchas Hanenin, that's by Birchas Hanenin, but by Birchas HaReach, you would allow. Yerushalmi says he even, the Gemara says, the Gemara Misochim tells the story, one of the Amoraim, one of the Tanoim would walk home from Shul, and his way home from Shul, he would say, Barim Minim Psalmim, he would smell some Psalmim, he would say, Barim Yariho Eish, when he would see a light. Then when he would come home, he would recite Havdolah, and then he would repeat a second time Barim Minim Sam and Barim Yehu Eish to be Moitzi the other Bnei Bais who weren't yet Yotzi. So you see that you say Yotza Moitzi even on Barim Yehu Eish. Barim Yehu Eish is not a Bichas Hanenin, is it? Barim Yehu Eish. You only say it on Matzoi Shabbos. You don't say all week long Barim Yehu Eish. So the Pashtus is that Barim Yehu Eish is a Bichas Shevach V'Hoidoya. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the energy that he put into the fire, and we thank him that he taught Adam Rishon the secret on Matzoi Shabbos. That's why we choose to recite that bracha Matzoi Shabbos. It's quite the, our historical tradition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the secret to Adam Rishon on Matzoi Shabbos, the first Matzoi Shabbos. Adam Rishon was created on Friday, and then he sinned right away, was chased out of Gan Eden and then sunset, and he thought the whole world was coming to an end. He thought he was being punished, and then God told him, no, it's not a punishment. This is a sunrise, sunset. This is going to be every day of the year. It's going to be sunrise, sunset. So the Rebbeinu Shlom taught him how to deal with the dark, that he can use fire to give light and to make energy and so on and so forth. So it's a Bichas Shevach, Bichas Haidoi, Bichas Shevach Haidoi. So we see from the Gemara that, I think the Gemara says, Rebbe Mefazma, Mechayz V'Soydra Malakos, Rebbe Rabbi Yudal Nasi, would recite Barim Minim Psalim on his way home, he would recite Barim Yar Yesh. Then when he came home, he said Abdullah, so he would recite a second time. So what is he saying? Bari Minim Psalmim, you can say as many times as you want. But how do you say in the middle of Havdalah? It should be a hefsek in the middle of Havdalah. The guy's going to say, Sha'akal Nir B'dvar, middle of Havdalah. It's going to be a hefsek, it doesn't belong there. But apparently this is not a hefsek. He's saying Bari Minim Psalmim for himself and for the others. So that's not a problem. But how does he say Bari Miyari Ha'esh? He already was Yotze. You don't say twice. Say twice Bari Miyari Ha'esh the same week. So the second time is going to be a bracha l'matala. So the answer is that Yotze Moitze. We say Yotze Moitzi not only on Bichas on Mitzvahs, we say it even on Bichas Shevach V'Hoidoh. So that's a shaila over here by the Bari Minim B'Samim. Is Bari Minim B'Samim really a Bichas Hanehenin? The way that Tzlach said, it's not a Bichas Hanehenin, it's a separate Takonas Bracha. So maybe the whole issue is not a problem. Yerushalmi raised the question, Yerushalmi Porus, Yerushalmi here, the bottom taste, the bottom line of the taste is Mem Beis Amin Aleph. Shami raised the question, how come by Mugmer? How come one person says Bari Yatzi Psalmim, Bari Minim Psalmim, everybody's Yotze? There's no Haseba. And according to what opinion, you can't say another Bichas Hanen and to be Yotze, any other Bichas Hanen other than Pasmiya, you can't say to be Yotze other people. So I would have said the answer should be that Bari Minim Psalmim is not a Bichas Hanen. So there's no problem of Haseba, there's no problem of Shemei Kohen being Yotze someone else. The Yerushalmi didn't answer that. They're all smelling from the same fragrant aroma. They open up the container and the smoke goes all over the room. So everybody's smelling from the same smoke. Each person is eating something separate. So that's why there's a problem of Shemer Kainan eating. So you have to have Davke Hesed. But on Mugma, there's no problem. According to what the Rishonim gives the answer, so what if everybody has their own little psalmim container? Then you got a problem. So how is one person might say the others? So everybody has to say his own bari minim psalm. That's no good. You want to have bari minim psalm should be ala kos. You want that he should recite bari minim psalm ala yayin. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not right when you say Abdullah, you're supposed to hold a cup of wine in your right hand if a person is a righty. And then he should hold the besamim in his left hand. So then when it's time to say bari minim psalmim, so the Mechaber quotes the Rav Yoh that he should switch hands. He should put the wine in his left hand, hold the bari minim psalmim and the psalmim in his right hand. Whenever you say a bracha, you should hold the thing that you're saying the bracha over in your right hand. The Vilna Gaon is quoted in the Imrei Noam, the Kiddushim from the Grod, written by one of the Talmidim on Bracha, said, so he quoted from the Vilna Gaon that he said the simple reading of the Gemara doesn't appear to indicate like the Rav Yoh. The simple reading of the Gemara seems to imply that he holds the cup of wine in his right hand throughout, since the Bar Piyag often has to precede the Bar Minim Samim. So he holds the wine in the right hand. He says the Bar Minim Samim, he holds it in his left hand, he doesn't switch hands. But this everybody agrees to. Even if you do switch hands, you have to hold a cup of wine while you're saying the Bar Minim Samim. That should also be ala kos. The Bar Miyari Hue should be ala kos, the Bar Minim Samim, not just the Havdalah should be ala kos. Everything should be ala kos. So it's not really right that you have everybody has their own psalmim and everybody says their own Bar Minim Samim. They're not saying Bar Minim Samim ala kos then. They should really be yoytzeh with the Bar Minim Samim that the Mavdil recites. So that's the question. How can they be yoytzeh with his? If the Yerushalmi says the reason why there's no issue here is because Kulam Nene Biyachat. It's not Kulam Nene Biyachat if each one has his own packet of psalmim. So the way I suggested Binim Psalmim Bichas HaReach is not a Bichas HaNenin. So there's no problem. You treat it like Bichas HaMitzvahs, you treat it like Bichas Shevach. That the din is Shameh Koinah. You can be yoytzeh with someone else's bracha. There's no issue with that seber. But Tosfos presents it b'shem ha'Yerushalmi as if you're faced with a problem. Bar Minim Samim should really be treated like a birchas hanenin, and it should pose a problem. So the solution that the Yerushalmi gives doesn't always apply. Then the Gemara quotes the different versions of the bracha. Just like al kul mebir shahakol yotza, so to over here we assume in Shulchan Aruch, if a person b'diyevet will say bari minim samim on any rech b'diyevet he'll be yotze. But more correct is l'chatchilat to say ho'et and ho'adoma and bari minim zaynis and whatever hamoitzi bari piyagof and whatever bracha b'furetus he's supposed to say. So the same over here. More correct is to say bracha meforetus, bari atzib samim, bari izbib samim, and so on and so forth. So Mark goes through all the various pirute brachas over here. Then Mark talks about the musk. Where does the musk come from? So the Gemara says min chayahu. It comes from an animal. So the bracha is if you take flowers and you soak them in water, you cook them in water, and the water has a fragrant smell because of the flowers, then you say bari izbe b'samim, or bari atzib b'samim, if the flowers are grasses, whatever. But over here, this fragrant smell comes from an animal, so that's going to be bari minib b'samim. It's not atzib b'samim, it's bari minib b'samim. Sure. So here on this musk, the Rabbi Yain and the Rosh raised the question, is this kosher or not? Gemara just talks about what bracha you say when you smell it. It's say bari minim psalmim. What's the story with eating it? Are you permitted to mix it into food in order to enhance the smell? What's the story with the kashrus? So the Rabbi Yoina thinks that it's kosher. He doesn't write like Rashi. Rashi claims that this musk is something that comes from rei shalchaya, comes from the tzoa of a behemoth. Rabbi Yaina assumes that it doesn't come from the rei of the behemoth, rather comes from the neck. The blood of an animal accumulates in some pocket in the neck, and even though it started off as dam with an isakares, but once it's nishtane, it doesn't look like dam, doesn't taste like dam, doesn't smell like dam, has a whole different, undergoes a major change. So the Rabbi Yaina says that an isa shenishtane becomes mutter, and he gives a mashal amad avadayma to prove that this is the case. He gives a marshal, if you have a container of honey and a piece of nevela falls in, and it sits there so long that the piece of meat converts into honey, so he says that's a davar pashut, that that piece of meat is mutter, because in Isa Shenishtana Liyas davar acher is mutter. So to over here, this musk started off as dam chaya, which had an Isa kares, but it's Nishtana to be a fragrant smelling thing, so it's an Isa Shenishtana is mutter. So the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Yoinah. The Rosh was after. Rabbeinu Yoinah was a mechutna of the Rambam. So their children married each other. So the Rosh writes, he's very surprised how the Rabbeinu Yoinah proves his point from the Moshel, from the piece of nevela falling into the container of honey. So the Rosh says, he's not so convinced that the Moshel is correct. You give a Moshel, just like that's obvious, so too this din is the same. He says, why is the Moshel so obvious? So again, in the Imre Noyam, they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, the Rabbeinu Yoinah got that Moshel from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that lists off which items are you not permitted to buy from a non-Jew because they're going to be osaba no, which items you're not permitted to buy because they'll be osaba achila mutaba no. Let's say you buy fish where they remove the skin, so you don't know if it's kosher fish or not, so it's osaba achila, but it's mutaba no, non-kosher fish is mutaba no. And then there are certain food items that you're permitted to buy from a nochri, and they're simply mutaba achila, there's no issue, it's not going to be non-kosher. So one example mentioned in the Mishnah is honey. It's permissible to purchase honey from a nochri because it simply can't be treif. So the Gemara raised the question, why is it so obvious? Maybe they left some chazeshmalts in the honey. Maybe it's going to have a mixture of non-kosher chazeshmalts. So the Gemara says nothing to worry about. Misrach sarach. What does that mean? So the Pashim shot misrach sarach. The non-Jew is not such a fool. He'll go out of business. People are going to buy his honey. It's going to taste like schmaltz. So then they won't buy honey again by him. So he'll lose his whole parnasa. No one's going to buy. So since misrach sarach, if schmaltz falls into honey, it's going to have a smell. It's not going to taste good. So therefore, you know for sure that the nochri is not going to run his business in such a sloppy fashion. So you don't have to be concerned that maybe there's a mixture of chazer schmaltz and honey. That's how the simple pshat is. But the Gaonim, the Ranan, the Rif over there quotes in the name of the Gaonim a different pshat. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. The Vilna Gaon didn't write it. The Talmidim of the Gro wrote in the name of the Vilna Gaon here. That's where the Rabbeinu Yonah got his mashal from. If Nevela falls into honey, it's mutter. When it turns into honey, where did he give such a mashal? That's what the Rosh says. Arach Araboy. Why don't you first prove that your mashal is correct? So the Vilna Gaon says he got it from that Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The Rabbeinu Yonah understood the Gemara like the Gaonim translated the words. Misrach Sarah, afilo naniach that it's true that Nevela Shmaltz, that Chazer Shmaltz fell into the honey, but right now it tastes like honey and it smells like honey, looks like honey. So it became honey. So it's, even if there would be Chazer Shmaltz, it's also mutter. Not that the Nochri would never do such a thing because it'll ruin his business. It'll smell. Misrach Sarah. No. Misrach Sarah means it underwent a major chemical change. And since it's an Issa Shenishtan, Issa Shenishtan is mutter. So that's apparently the mocker for that Rabbeinu Yonah. How do we pass on halacha lemaisa? It's a major dispute. Comes up all the time. You have non-kosher food that undergoes some major change and now has a different chemical composition and a different flavor and a different smell. Everything is in Gansan different. So how do you pass on? So the Magen Avraham quotes the discussion, Hilchas Birchas Areach. Where is it? Reish Tazayin or something? The Magen Avraham quotes this machlekes between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a hachra by the Prima Gadim, where he says that it depends whether you're dealing with an issue deraisa and issue derabbanan. An issue deraisa, we're machmir, like the Rosh. And an issue derabbanan, we're maker, like the Rabbeinu Yonah. And it wouldn't appear that it's because safek deraisa lechumer safek derabbanan lekula, because the Prima Gadim quoted by the Mishnah Brura says that even if you're dealing with an issue deraisa, and Issa deraisa, but you know you have shishim against it. So if you have shishim against it, so what? So it's het the gomer. So why is it an issue derabbanan? Says no. What if you're not sure? You may have an Issa deraisa, shen is batal b'shishim, but it's a dava hamamid. So dava hamamid is le batal is only midirabbanan. The din of dava hamamid le batal, that itself is only a chumrim midirabbanan. That's what's usually assumed. That's what we assume la halacha. Dava hamamid le batal. There is a minority opinion that davar mamid loy batel is deraisa. There's another minority opinion that there is no such thing bechlal as davar mamid loy batel. The Marshal, the Shach quotes the Marshal. He denies it. He says, in Yerba Day at the end of Simen Pei Zayin and beginning of Hilchas Basel B'cholav, there's a long Ramah about Dov Ramamid. So the Shach quotes, you should know that the Marshal denies the whole thing. The Gemara just says, why did the rabbis prohibit Gvina Sakum? Because Ma'amidim also be okay with Nevela. They made a Gzeira as a Harchoket. It's not that if really Ma'amidim also be okay with Nevela, it's really awesome with the Rabbanon. No. That's what motivated the rabbis to make Gzeira the Rabbanon, not Gvina Sakum. But if it's not an issue of Gvina Sakum, the Ramam, it would be okay. There's no problem, the Ramam. So we don't accept the opinion of the Marshal, who denies the whole institution of Dov Ramam. The Marshal is a contemporary of the Ramah. They were related. They used to correspond with each other. There are different approaches to everything. The Ramah would study Mora Nevuchim, and the Marshal was upset why he studied Mora Nevuchim. I'm always careful about Dikduk, and the Marshal was making fun of his Dikduk. Okay. So they were cousins, so they used to joke with each other. So
what
the Marshal...
What is the Mamed in the case of the running?
No Mamed. No. So there's one opinion that there's no Dina Mamed at all. There's another opinion that Dabra Mamed like Bottle Minotaur. We don't accept either of these fringe opinions. Centrist orthodoxy, we accept the middle position. Dabra Mamed like Bottle Midirabana. There's a Din Midirabana, Dabra Mamed like Bottle. That's the mainstream. That's the Shulchan Aruch like that. Dabra Mamed like Bottle Rabana. So the Mishnah Brewer in Reish Tezayin quotes a Hachroa, a compromise Hachroa, from the Prima Gladim like this. Whenever you're dealing with an issue, then we say Issa Shenishtana is Asa. Whenever you're dealing with an Issa Derabanan, we make of that the Nishtana is Mutter. And even if you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa She Nizbatal Bishishim, but it's the whole issue is only Batal Bishishim is Mutter. So what is it? It's got Mutter because of Bipal. What do you have to talk about the Nishtana for? No. It's Nizbatal Bishishim, but it's serving as a Dover Hamamid. So the whole Chumrah of Dover Hamamid like Batal is only a Din with the Rabbanon. So it boils down to an issue of the Rabbanon. So since it's only an issue of the Rabbanon, so then we accept the position that Issa Shenishtana is Mutter. So if the Prima Gadim would have been saying this as a Suffolk, Deraisa L'Chumrah, Suffolk, the Rabbanon L'Kula, this wouldn't qualify, really. Strictly speaking, this wouldn't qualify to say Suffolk, the Rabbanon L'Kula. You're dealing with a Suffolk, Deraisa, which is only negated to an issue of the Rabbanon. That's called Safik Deraisa L'Chumrah. When you say Safik Deraisa L'Chumrah, it's both with respect to the details that are Deraisa and with respect to the details that are the Rabbanon. So the Yisif and the fact that Prima Gadim is Mekel even on an Issa Deraisa Shenishtana and it fell and it was mixed into Heter and you have Shishim against it, but it's a Dov Ramam. He says, Andinim the Rabbanon were Mekel. Not because Safik the Rabbanon L'Kulim. Because we really adopt the position of the Rabbeinu Yonah. If we're machmer and dinim deraisa, if it's a real din deraisa, we're choshish for the Ramah. We're choshish for the Rosh. But mikra din, we really paskin like the Rabbeinu Yonah.
What did the Goyim say? That it's because he wouldn't put his business at risk that we're not
choshish
for the...
That's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara Abu Dizar. The Mishnah says, the third Mishnah says, the following food items may be purchased from a nanju, and the mutta bachila, dvash. I guess there are a list of other things also. So honey is mutter. So the Gemara says, why is it so obvious that it's mutter? Maybe he collects his honey in the same pot where he has chazash melts. The Gemara says, misrach sarach. What does that mean, misrach sarach? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, he's not going to be such a fool to ruin his business. No one's going to buy any honey by him next time. They're going to say that his honey smells from chazash melts, so they're not going to buy. That's the pashup pshat. So the Ran there, on the way to Zohar, the Ran on the side of the rift, quotes from the Goyim a different pshat in the Gemara. The misrach sarach means, no, even if it's true, even if it's a vadai that we know that he had chazashmaltz in the honey, but the honey will affect the change of the chazashmaltz, it'll convert it into honey. So misrach sarach means nishtana. Since the chazashmaltz converted and became like honey, there's a chemical change over here. So therefore, anisa shenishtana is mut.
But what would be the marker from the chumash that there is such a din of nishtana, isa shenishtana? Like, where would the Gemara get this from?
Svara is this. It's a svara. It's not a no mocker in the Chumash. At all. It's a no mocker. That's what the Rosh is not happy about. Where would he get such an idea? Then we discuss briefly the Gemara has a Mem Gimel and Beis. One should be careful not to hurt someone else's feelings, not to humiliate someone in public. Malm p'nei chaver, b'rabim. Malm p'nei chaver is such a serious avera So the Gemara has an expression, it's preferable to give up your life. It's preferable she should give up his life rather than to be involved with Echaveh Baram. So the question is, are you supposed to take this literally? So the Rambam, the Abbot Siyun for the Rambam, the Rambam quotes it, not allowed to be involved in Pnei Chaver, but Rambam, okay, but he doesn't say you have to give up your life. So the Rambam took it that this is an agarita. Right, it's based on the Pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Ches. No. So it's a non-halachic statement. It's a guzma just to emphasize the significance of not hurting someone, not humiliating someone else. Taisvis and other Rishonim took it literally. That this the din really is that you harg va yavar, you have to give up your life rather than to hurt the other person's feeling. So Taisus in Saita, this same Gemara appears in Saita Daf Yud. So Taisus in Saita raises an issue. How come in the famous Sugya and Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Gimel Ayin Dalit, when Emor talks about the whole topic of your harg va yavar, so why is it only mentioned the Gimel Aver Sachmuras Abedizar Gilav Ashvich Hazdamim? What happened to Malpene Chaver Barab? So Taisus answers in Satan, oh, Malm Pnei Chaver Baram is a favorite pasuk in Bereishis that he doesn't have to mention there. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf and Gimel only has to mention the three cases that are not explicit in the Chumash. Abu Dizorah is a machlokes hatanoim when they say Yehorg Val Yavar. We paskin Yehorg Val Yavar. Most of the Rishonim paskin like that Gemara Yehorg Val Yavar. Abu Dizorah, Gilei Rashi Chstam, that's a chiddush, it's not explicit. But by Malm Pnei Chaver Baram, that's a beforish pasuk, that's why the Gemara didn't have to mention it. The Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva gives a different suggestion. He says that the Gemara in Perek HaZohov and Bamitziyah Nuntes, when they're speaking about how to be careful about being Balm Pnei Chaver Baram, so the Gemara says when you embarrass a person, so sometimes his reddish color will turn into white. From being embarrassed, it'll turn white. So in a certain sense, that's called Shvich HaZdam. So it's not real, 100% Shvich HaZdam. Shvich HaZdam means that you do murder. So on murder, we know that there's a din of Yehorg Val Yavar. But this is not really Shvich HaZdamim, but the Gemara considers it an Abizrayu HaShvich HaZdamim. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah writes. If one were to assume, that's a big machlokes HaRishonim, if one would assume that Yehorg Val Yavar doesn't only apply to the Gimel Averus HaChamuris, the actual Gimel Averus HaChamuris, but it even applies to the Abizrayus, the related, he assumed that it related, the actual issa, let's say there's an issa rabba rayas. I'm not allowed to have an affair with an eshes ish. I'm not having an affair, I'm just violating yichud with an eshes ish. So that yichud is a prohibition, but it's not the actual gilei arayas itself. So that's a machlekes harishonim, whether you would say yehorg v'yavah. Take, for example, avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is yehorg v'yavah, not to worship avodah zarah. What if I'm not worshiping avodah zarah? Let's say I'm running away from the Nazis and I have to cross over a river. And there's a rowboat over here. The rowboat happens to be Asa Bahanoa because they made the wooden rowboat from wood from an Asherah tree that happens to be Asa Bahanoa. But so it's Asa to get Hanoa from Avodah Zarah, but that's not called worshipping Avodah Zarah. Not to get Hanoa from Avodah Zarah, it's an Abizrayu. It's an Issa that's related to Avodah Zarah, but it's not the actual Issa itself. So there is a Gemara in Psochem, Adav Chav Dalet, Adav Chav Hei, where the Gemara says, Bakol Misrapin, if a person is sick, and his life is in danger, he's permitted to eat on Yom Kippur, he's permitted to eat Chametz B'Pesach, he's permitted to eat non-kosher food, he's permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, he's obligated to save his life. Bakom is Rappin, you're allowed to heal yourself in anything. Chutz Miatze Asherah, you're not allowed to use Asherah wood. What do you mean? He has to row to the other side of the river, he's not allowed to use a boat that was made from Asherah wood. That's not Avodah Zarah. So after the Rishonim say, even though it's not actual worshipping Avodah Zarah, but it's Abizrayah of Avodah Zarah, not only they say Yehorg Val Yavar on the Gimel Averus HaChamuris, even on those Yisurim that are related to them. And Taisus on the Daf does not agree with that position. They say, no, you only say Yehorg Val Yavar on the actual Aver itself. Here, it's talking like this. The Galach, the minister from the other religion, is going to lend me the boat, and he says, this boat has special holy powers because this boat belongs to the church. You'll save your life if you use this boat. So by using the boat, that's a demonstration as if the Avodah Zarah of the church is a true God. But if it would just be a boat that would be Asa Bahanoa, then Taisus would say that there's no Yehorg Val Yavar. Only if it looks like I'm worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that's a major machlokes HaRishonim. How do we pass on the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shach points out it's a stira between Kuf Nun He and Kuf Nun Zayin. just the 2 pages apart, a contradiction in the Mechaber. Whether we paskin Yehorek Val Yavar only on the Gimel of Eres HaChamuris, or even paskin Yehorek Val Yavar on Av Israelis. There was a court case in America I mentioned that a boy took a girl out on a date, and the girl hadn't gone to mikveh, the girl was a nida, obviously she was single, and then they were on a Ferris wheel together, and then the guy left for the day, so the girl decided to climb down not to violate Yichud because she thought that it's Yehorek Val Yavar. So that's highly questionable. It's questionable whether Nida is considered Arayis. Nida has Karis. Let's say a Koyin Begrusha or a Kangorel Bealmana, he saw the Mamzeris as an Isa Lav, that's not called Gili Arayis. You wouldn't say Yehorek Val Yavar over there. That's an Isa Bia. So it says Beferish, there's no Yehorek Val Yavar even though it's an Isa Derayis. So on the one hand, Nida has an Isa Karis. So it sounds like on the one hand it is Gili Arayis. On the other hand, the Din is that the Habu'ala Nida, the Vlad is not a Mamzer. And by Arayis, the Vlad is a Mamzer. Number two, Ein Kiddushin Tofsin by Arayis. If you give a ring to your sister, to your mother, to your sister-in-law, to your mother-in-law, Eishesish, Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, but the Kiddushin HaTofsin by Nida, many of the women who get married don't have a chance to go to Mikvah before they get married. So we say, Kiddushin HaTofsin. So what does that show about it? Kiddushin HaTofsin, the Vlad is not a Mamzer, and yet there is Koris. So obviously it's an exception to the rule. So the question is, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? Is it basically Nida is an Erva, and it's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it's an Erva, Kiddushin HaTofsin, based on a pasuk, with Sehi Nidasa Olava, Afilu B'Shas Nidasa, Tehei Bo Habaya. Sehi goes on Tfisas Ishus. Is that the exception to the rule, is that Kiddushin HaTofsin, the Vlad is not a Mamzer? Or do you say, no, that's the rule. The rule is that Nida is not an Erva. And that's why Kiddushin HaTofsin, and that's why the Vlad is not a Mamzer, that's the rule, that's not exception. The exception to the rule is that this Koreis, well, this Koreis on the eating Chometz B'Pesach, eating on Yom Kippur, being Mechal Shabbat, has nothing to do with Gili HaRayis. Koreis he can have on things, on Mefatimus HaKtoris. The whole list of Laman Vav Krisis, Hamuris Batera, not all of the Krisis have to do with Gili HaRayis. So that's a major machlok zereshem. That's the tesis on the first daf in Yevamos. The base of manal there. Rabbi Natam claims that Nida is not an erva, and that base of manal tesis alludes to it. You look in the Sefer Yosher, Rabbi Natam, he spells it out more. He proves the point from the fact Eidechod is neman biyisur, and the dov should be erva. The din is that you need shnei eidim kshelim, and Eidechod is neman biyisurim. So the original source of Eidechod neman biyisurim is v'safra lo liatzma. Taisus writes in Ksuvas, Dafayim, Beis HaMadal, V'safra lo liatzma, the woman counts her Shimon Hakim, she goes to the mikveh. So you see that we trust the woman. So you see, Eidechon HaMisurim applies to a Nida, to a Zohar. So if the Rabbi Natam argues, if it would have been considered Yehorek Val Yavar, if it's really Arayis, that it's Nida and Zohar, and he said Gili Arayis, so should have said that Yinich Ne'edim should be considered a Dovah Shabbi Yervam. So the Rabbi Natam considers that Arayah Brura, that Nida is not considered Gili HaRayis, and that's why it's just plain all these surah. Other Rishonim hold the reverse. The Rambam is Beferish. The Rambam writes a few times like that. Anida Bechlal HaRayis, Anida is a regular Erva. The exception to the rule is that Kiddushin HaTofsin the Vlad is not a Mamzer. But the fact that there's Koris is a clear-cut indication that it is an Erva. The Rambam holds that it is an Erva, and you would say Yehorek Val Yavar. Why is it Echad Neman? No, that halacha, that's a different thing. The definition of Dovah should be Erva that requires Shnei Eidim is not whatever is Gili HaRayis. That's not the definition. Definition is Ishus or non-Ishus. To say that a woman is an Eshesish or a Pnuya, that the husband died, or that the man was Mekadosh, the man was Megarish, if you're talking about whether there's Ishus or non-Ishus, that's called Dovah should be Erva. Ki Motzebo Erva's Dover. How do you know Dovah Dovah Mimam? And how do you know that Dovah should be Erva need Shnei Eidim, Lebira Dover, that Erechot is not believed? Because says the man divorces his wife if he discovers that she's a Saita, she was Mizana Tachasba. How does he discover? It says, Kimotzabo Ervazda. How does he discover that she's Mizana? So it says, Dovor, it says, Al Pishnei Eidim, Yakum Dovor, so Dovor, Dovor, mi Mom. Just like by Mom, and you need Shnei Eidim, Libira Dovor, so by Dovor should be Erva, you also need Shnei Eidim. Yeah, why is that called? Why is Saita Labaila called Dovor should be Erva? Because it's ruining the marriage. He has to get divorced. So when you're determining an issue, you're saying an Eshesish became a Pnuya, the husband died. Or you say the Pnuya became an Eshesish, the man was Mekadosh. Or you're saying the man was Meyabim her. Or you're saying the Yavam Alashuk. You say the Yavam died and the Yavam Alashuk is permitted to remarry. Or you say the Yavam did Chalitza and the Yavam is permitted to remarry now. So you're talking about issues or non-issues. Is there Zika or not Zika? So you're talking about, or the woman was married and we paskin she has to get divorced because she became a Saita Asura Labala. So that's the Rambam's definition. Whenever you're discussing an issue of issues or non-issues, that's called Dorsha B'Yav. But let's say a man is about to marry a girl and someone pops up with an idea and says he can't marry that girl. That's a brother and a sister. So would you say Erechadam and B'Yisurim to determine, to establish that a brother and that this is a brother and a sister? Let's say they themselves don't even know. After the war, people didn't know what was going on. They didn't know who was on. So someone says, I know about those. This is a brother and this is a sister. They're not allowed to get married. So do you say Erechadam and B'Yisurim? But they say that that's a Dovah Shabiyah. So that's a Mefurish and Machlekes and Rishayim. Machlekes is the Ramban and the Ram in the middle of Kiddushin. So that's the Shaila. What's the definition of Dovah Shabiyerva? Any case of Gilei Arayis is labeled as Dovah Shabiyerva. That's how the Rabbi Natan in Sefer Yosha is assuming. And others say no. Dovah Shabiyerva is the definition of Dovah Shabiyerva that requires Shnei Edim is when you're determining an issue of issues or non-issues or breaking issues. But if you're just talking about whether they're a brother or a sister, so they're talking about whether the woman is a nida or not a nida. That's not an issue of issues or non-issues. Issues the kiddushin is chal even if the woman is a nida. Anyway, so that's the issue of that's the shayla of Yaharg Val Yavar by the Abizrahims. So by that case, by the single girl, whether a nida is gili arayis, what they say bechlal Yaharg Val Yavar a nida. That's a machlekes harishayim. And that's what some Achrayim write. They're not sure. They're not sure what the din is.
The Sveik Sveik or the Fang Sveik?
It should be a Sveik Sveik. Eh? The girl didn't know all the Sveik Sveik, so she decided the boy was a learned fellow, so he decided he's not going to climb down. The girl was not as learned as the boy, so she started climbing down. She broke a leg or something. She got injured. So that was the Shaila, whether she was Mukhiv to jump off, to risk her life in order not to violate the Isra of Yichud. Really, strictly speaking, was a Sveik Sveik. Suffolk, whether need is called Gilei Arayis or not, and even if it is Gilei Arayis, they weren't going to sin together, they were going to violate Yichud together. And thirdly, was Beshevi Al Tasa. So Taisus says, in the beginning of Ksubis, has this Machlekes HaRishayim, says Sveik Sveik Sveik, third Sadlog. They maybe only say Yehoreg Val Yavar, not to do a Maisa Bekum Liyaseh, but to just ask the Karko Elam Haisa, just to act passively. They went on the Ferris wheel Behetta. At the time they went on, there was no Issa. Now they're going to continue to stay there. That's B'Shevi Al Tasa. So Taisus has two days, and the main day is that B'Shevi Al Tasa, you don't say Yehoreg Val Yavar. The Pashto says that it wasn't the problem. Anyway, here's the Gemara with the right hand, the left hand. Okay. That's the Gemara over here. Not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Just like the Rambam doesn't quote it, we assume like the Rambam that it's an exaggeration. We don't really. Taisus and the Rabbeinu Yonah take it literally. We assume that it's an agadah just to emphasize the significance of the din. We should be careful. We have a minhag to cover over the challahs when we recite Kiddush. So there's three different reasons that are given by the Rishonim. So one agadic reason is Shalira hapas by Shosai. That the din is that whatever is kaidim in the pasuk is kaidim lebracha, so you can really say kiddush over chalas. But we prefer to say kiddush over wine. It's preferable to say kiddush over wine. So we're really insulting the chala. The chala is kaidim eretz chitosar. The chala should be kaidim. So we cover up the chalas in order that you shouldn't feel slighted. What do you mean? The chala is going to feel embarrassed. Chala is going to turn white. So that means we should practice on chalas. So that when it comes to human beings, we should be careful. We should be so used to not hurting someone's feelings. We should practice on challah. So that when it comes to human beings, we should know right away not to hurt their feelings.
If someone makes kiddush on challah and then says amosia, would that be an issue of challahs they're saying two brachas on a challah?
In the same as by Kiddush on wine. He says Bar Piagofen. Right, he says Bar Piagofen, and then he says the Kiddush. So Taisus says that's L'chol HaDei, it's not a problem. So apparently by Hamoitzi also it's not going to be a problem. Hamoitzi in the Kiddush is not a problem. But Taisis raised the issue of the machlekes and Taisis by chavilas chavilas. That's by the maror. That's by the moitzi with the matzah. Two different sudas yontif with the matzah. That's a shayla. But the kiddush, that somehow that was Taisis argument against Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. Don't you see from kiddush all the time that we say brichas hanen and then we say the kiddush? That's not a problem. So he apparently thinks that Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim holds that there is a problem with chavilas chavilas by the maror, by the two brothers of the maror. He somehow thinks that kiddush is different. Kiddush and Abdullah is different. But obviously it's not a problem. Then we had again the repeat, the Mishnah has the Machlokes HaTanoim. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that you recite the whole Birchas HaMazon and the Shivas HaMinim. We don't pass like that. We pass, we only say the Ein Shosh. Okay. Yeah, what is the Chasimus HaBrocha if you drank wine? So Tosis has two opinions. What do you say? Al Ha'orez Al HaPeres? Or the chasim should be al ha'aretz v'al pri hagafen. Yeah, we discussed that already also. Okay, then different minhagim when you say bar nefashos. Okay. The Gemara has a mendalim base that the Bnei Marav had a practice that they used to recite the bracha when they removed the tefillin. What bracha did they recite? Lishma chukah. What kind of a bracha is that? Our practice is we do not recite Lishma Chukam. The Beis Yosef quotes Matzasi Kosu. He saw in a sefer that at the end of Avodah Tzion, he said, "Yiratzon Fanecha Shenishma Chukech Bo'elam Azeh Miniski Minich Yamnir Terchayim Bo'elam Abo." That Lishma Chukech Bo'elam Azeh is based on this bracha Lishma Chukam. We don't pasken like the Bnei Marove, but basically we do say a bracha Lishma Chukam because Avodah Tzion is right before we're about to remove the tefillin. Then the Achranim ask on that. What do you mean? But we don't pass like the Bnei Marov. So why should someone have introduced such a tefillah into the Siddur if it's not, we don't accept their opinion, Laloch? What is this Bracha Lishma Chukah based on? So this is a big fundamental machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos is right over here, and a few other Masechtos as well. Here, Tosfos Sukkah, Tosfos Anida, Tosfos Menachos, four different places, they have the same Tosfos. The Tosfos says, the Bnei Marov follow the opinion that b'chukas ha'tfilin ha'kos medaber. There's a pasuk in Kadesh by Yoki V'yacha there. It says v'shamartos ha'chuka hazos l'mo adam yomim yomim. So it's a little unclear. It's a lot unclear. Which chuka is that referring to? V'shamartos ha'chuka hazos goes on chukas ha'tfilin ha'kos medaber goes on chukas ha'pesach. If it goes on chukas ha'pesach, it's the last pasuk in Kadesh, right before by Yoki V'yacha. Shemata Sachukazas, that parsha starts off with Karishli Kol Bechor. Then it says you should bring Korban Pesach. And then it says you should wear tefillin. Then it concludes Shemata Sachukazas Lamerda. So one Tana says, Bechukas HaPesach Kasim Adaber. And the word Miyamim Yamima means yearly, from year to year. You should bring Korban Pesach once a year, every year. Miyamim Yamima. The other Tanaim disagree. They say, no, Pesach was a previous pasuk. Now the pasuk immediately preceding this concluding pasuk is speaking about tefillin. What does it mean? Means daily. It does mean yearly. Means daily. So how come it says miyamim? So miyamim velo kol yamim. Some days yes, and some days no. Mem is a miyut. Like it says, Adam Mikem, Mikem Velo Kulchem, Lahoti Esamuvim. Whenever you have a mem, you're a mayim. So here it says, Miyamim Velo Kol Yamim, Prat L'Shabbosnes V'Yamim Teifim. That you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom. The other Tanaim disagree, they hold no. Shabbos and Yom Tov is man tefillin. There's no market to say not so. They say, Shabbos Yom Tov is man tefillin. Then it says, Miyamim, Yamim Velo Leilos. So if you interpret V'Shamarta Sechukah referring to Chukas HaTefillin, then you come up with these two chidushim. Number one, that yomim v'lo leilos, that laila loves man tefillin in Torah, that's a machlekes satanoim, and a machlekes the Rambam and everybody else had a paskin. The Rambam stands out alone over here. The Rambam paskins that mikra din deraisa, laila loves man tefillin. Most of the Rishonim paskin now say laila is man tefillin with napkeminis lahaloche, whether laila is man tefillin loves man tefillin. That's what Tosis quotes. This whole machlekes whether laila is man tefillin or loves man tefillin. Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva negel lahaloche about the. Laila loves man tefillin. It says in Shulchan Aruch, what if a person slept all night long? He wakes up early in the morning and he has to run to work. He's not going to fall asleep. He has to go to work. and it's too early to say a bracha on the tefillin. The Gemara says, halacha k'acherim, in the third perek, in brachas, the Gemara says that you're not supposed to recite, oh, it's the second perek, I think, you're not supposed to recite the bracha on tefillin until, so let's say it's an hour before sunrise. That's not Mishayakir, so you're not supposed to say a bracha on tefillin. So Rav Moshe shows from the Rishonim that there is a machlekes in Rishonim. Why do we not put on tefillin balayla? So some Rishonim paskin laila loves mantulin as a diminator. The Raman paskin says a diminaderais. So even if you already went to sleep all night long and you wake up in the morning, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's it, you're not going to sleep anymore. You're not permitted to put on tefillin balayla. And the other Rishonim Paskin, most of the Rishonim Paskin know, the Mikra Din Deraisa Laila is Zman Tefillin. It's only Exer the Rabbanah Shema Yishan Bohem, and what's so terrible if Yishan? The Shema Yafiach Bohem, and if he'll sleep on the Tefillin, Shema Yafiach Bohem, he may pass gas, and that's a violation of Zahiris Begdushas HaTefillin. So that's why we don't permit the person to wear Tefillin Balayla. But what if he slept all night long and he woke up for the day? He has to go to work now. He's going to drive now. He's going to be going around. So then, according to those Rishonim, according to most of the Rishonim, you would be permitted to say the Baruch on the Tefillin. The only time Laila allows Mantul, if you didn't go to sleep yet, but if you already had your night's sleep and you woke up in the morning, and you're ready for a whole new day, you can really say a Baruch on the Tefillin even before Los HaShachar. So Moshe Feinstein, so Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to say the Baruch until Achiyakar Schadir Berichik Dalaram. So Moshe lived under the communists till he escaped to America. And the communists had the people working all day long, and it was impossible to, when they would come home, it would be dark already. So the only time they can put on tefillin would be way before Mashiach or Eschaver, way before. So Moshe, and he knew it because he thought the communists were going to last for a while, which they did. Communism lasted for quite a while, just collapsed a couple of years ago, but it lasted during the whole lifetime of all of these people. They were never zeichet to be putter from the communism. So Rav Moshe was concerned, if you tell the Balabatim that they should put on tefillin without a bracha, they'll think it's not so important. A mitzvah without a bracha indicates that it's a weaker mitzvah. So he paskin for them, L'hoi Rosha, they should put on tefillin with a bracha. Because we mikra din, we paskin like the Rishonim, and the Laila is man tefillin. And therefore, the only time it's awesome in the Rabban is before you go to sleep. Shem Yishim Behem, Shem Yafiach. But if you woke up already, so mikra din, you can say bracha on a tefillin in the middle of the night, even if Allah is Hashach. That's his famous truth. So what does God do with Taisus over here? Taisus says that Bnei Marava used to recite a bracha Lishma Chukah. Where did he get such a loshim Lishma Chukah? They got it from this pasuk Vishamarta Sachukah Hazos. Why did they say a bracha Lishma Chukah? Because in the days of the Gemara, the people wore tefillin all day long, not like us. We take off the tefillin after Shachris is over. No, you leave the tefillin on all day long. You take the tefillin off at the beginning of the night. Why do you take the tefillin off at the beginning of the night? So either min haTorah or min haRabbanan, either min haRabbanan gzera shem yishem bem, shem yafiach bem, or min haTorah. So the Bnei Marav held that it's min haTorah. Shamarta sechukah zois bechukah satfilin akas medaber. Miyamin velo leilos, you must remove the tefillin when it comes lailo. So that's why they recited the bracha lishma chukav, because they took off the tefillin before night. And everybody else, not the Bnei Marav, everybody else, Bnei Marav means those who lived in Eretz Yisrael, to the west of Iraq. So in Babel, they didn't follow that position. Babel, they paskin that Laila min haTorah is matfilin, like the Rov Hashitas of the Rishonim is like that. So if Laila is matfilin, how can you say bracha lishma chukav? The whole Nusach HaBracha is based on that post. That's the interpretation that Tesis gives. The problem is, the Gemara is trying to figure out where do you have something that you say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha after. So the Gemara says mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs, you say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha after. Then the Gemara says, but according to the Bnei Marava, that they had the practice of reciting a bracha when they remove the tefillin, when they're about to remove the tefillin, so where do you have a case where you say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha? Well, the Gemara says, reach. Reach. So why did the Gemara have to shift to reach? According to Taisus, the only case where the Bnei Marava say that you recite a bracha at the end is only when you remove the tefillin at the end of the day, because of the pasuk v'shamarta lishma chukav. But after you finish doing any other mitzvah in the world, you take off the talis, you don't say a bracha. There's no avera to wear a talis at night. So why did the Gemara have to shift all the way to say, Lapuki reach, rechni, you don't say a bracha after? They should have said, Lapuki kol shara mitzvah kul. So Taisus works on that kasha, that's a kasha. Ramban thinks that kasha is insurmountable. It shows that the whole shtikl Torah that Taisus said, Taisus often has fantastic shtikl Torah. and they're so convincing. We, if you learn Gemara with Taisus, they convince you that their pshat is right. Ramban thinks that this is this shows that Taisus pshat is not correct. So he claims that whenever you have a mitzvah that takes a while, wear a talis for an hour, then you take it off. So you got to say a bracha lishma chukah. Whenever the bnei marav would say a bracha on any mitzvah that has a shihuiz man. So going to Ramban is also a problem. Why didn't the Gemara say where do you have a mitzvah that you say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha after? A mitzvah shein bo shihuiz man. Going to Ramban is also difficult. So how did he consider this a tiyuf tantes? So okay, is a problem.
Does that mean if you're wearing tefillin, you violate some kind of
issa,
or it's just that you won't get a mitzvah?
The Pashto says that the issa only is if the Gemara says there's an issa. Gemara says there's an issa. Vishamarta is either an issa resi or an issa visham pen the alva zaloisasi. Gemara talks in the last parak in Erev, and either it's an issa resi or an issa loisasi. But the Pashto says the issa only is if you put on tefillin, haminech tefillin balayla. But if I had the tefillin on by yom and I just didn't bother to take it off at the beginning of the night, then strictly speaking, you're not really over the yisr. The yisr only is if you haminech tefillin b'alayla. If you continue to have it on from yom, then there's no yisr. Then the Gemara says, "Hashosamayim only litzamay." That's the lashon on Mishnah. "Hashosamayim litzamay," says the bracha. If a person is thirsty. Lapuki, what? Why does it say that? Some lapuki, if chanke say umtza. If umtza means he's choking on a piece of meat, he's has something in his throat that's caught, and he's choking, so he wants to drink some water, he's not really thirsty for the water, just wants to clear his throat, so then you don't say a bracha. So this is a machlekes in Taisus. Why do you not say a bracha? So one opinion of Taisus, he can choke. He says brachas, but such kavan, it's going to take him 2 minutes to say a bracha. He can choke till he finishes the bracha. So let him drink the water without. But after he finishes drinking the water, then he should certainly say bar nefashis after it's all over. And it's labdavka water. If he's going to drink wine in order to clear his throat that he shouldn't choke, he's going to drink Coca-Cola or something else also. You don't say a bracha in advance of his chanke say umtza. That's a Rav Amram going to be davka the funnel of boy brucha the achrav chayv lover, because it's a suffix sakonis. So that's why we allow him to drink without reciting a bracha. The other Rishonim saying that doesn't mean chanke say umtza. He's not so. Not that his throat is he can't breathe. Nah, it's not a suffix pikuach nafesh. It's just talking. He wants to wash down the food. He's not really thirsty. So it's a special din on water. You only say a bracha Rishon on water if he's litzama. If he's not litzama, you don't say. But if it's not litzama, you don't say bracha. Not before, not after. And if it be any other beverage that you're drinking in order to swallow something down. So you would say bracha. The only exception to the rule is water. So that's what we assume, that a person has to swallow down a pill. He's not choking, but he's not thirsty for water. So it just takes a little sip of water to make it easier to swallow the pill. So we treat that the same as chanka simon. According to Rav Amram, you would have to say bracha on water that you're swallowing a pill, the water that you're taking to swallow a pill. So we don't follow Rav Amram.
Shema for.
Yeah. So we don't follow Rav Aragon. We follow the major sheet in Tosfos. Yeah, they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that you only recite the Bar Nefashos after drinking a revius of water if you drank the whole revius litzamai. Sometimes a person is thirsty and he starts drinking a little water and he's no longer thirsty. That solved the whole problem. But he doesn't want the water to spill on the table, so he finishes the whole cup of water. But it wasn't really litzamai the rest. And the little bit that was litzamai was less than a kishir. So that's what the Vilna Gaon thought, that this is often the case. And he says, therefore, a person should be careful. Only they say, bar nefashis, after drinking water, if he knows for sure that he drank a whole revius, lit someone. Okay, then we had the Mishnah, starting the seventh perek. Shlosh shachol kachas chayovim lezamein, unless they ate non-kosher food. So there was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, why is a no zimun? So the Ravid says, because there's only a mezumen if ochlu kachas, if they ate in unity. There was a kachas over here, there was a tziruv. And if people are doing an avera, then the Gemara has an expression in the second parak, in the third parak in Sanhedrin, keshu rishoy meinam min aminyan. That people do averas, they're not considered the mitzuref yachad. Each one is on his own, because averas are done with personal paniyas, with personal negiyas. It's not done for a wonderful cause. And the Rambam and most of the Rishonim disagree. That's a psak of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not only a din that there's no tziruf lizima. No, there's no birchas hanena, not before, not after. No brachas recited at all. That's the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. When the person is eating non-kosher food, so he doesn't recite a bracha neither before nor after. What if he has a heta pikoch nefesh to eat a non-kosher food? He's eating on Yom Kippur because the doctor said he has to eat. Or he's eating non-kosher food for the sake of pikoch nefesh. That's a further machlokes in Rishonim, explicit machlokes. So the Ra'o on our Mishnah, the Ra'o has a commentary on the Rif, on Brochas. Could be has a commentary on other Mesichtas as well, but we only have the manuscript printed on Brochas. So the Ra'o claims, based on a passage in Yerushalmi, that even in the situation of Pekuach Nevesh also should not say a Brochas. He gives a whole explanation why. And that's not the accepted opinion. We pass on the Shulchan Aruch that if the person has a Pekuach Nevesh, he has a heta to eat the non-kosher food. So then he does recite the bracha. There was a suggestion to distinguish between Yom Kippur as opposed to Macholos Asuras, that Yom Kippur is Nisigava, Macholos Asuras and Nisigheptza, but we don't accept that opinion. We pass in all cases, whenever the person had a heter because of Safik Pikoch Nefesh, so then he does say bracha on the non kosher.
Is that technically considered putra?
Could be, but the bottom line, we pass them, they don't use that language. But bottom line, we pass them whenever it's the head there, a bracha is recited. Bracha is recited. We assume that it's only the chuyah. We assume it's not hucha, it's only the chuyah. The pashtus in the Achronim write like this, the Pesach Tshuva in Yoredeh quotes a Chasam Sefer, who says like this, that pikuach nefesh is doiche treifes, and eating on Yom Kippur and so on. Everybody agrees that that's only the chuyah. The whole machlekes and mishani, but the pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is the chuyah hutra is only Shabbos. So Shabbos, there's more room to be made. On Shabbos, maybe it's hutra, but shar kol yisurim hutra is only the chuyah, not hutra. That's what he claims, and he has a rush to that effect. He interprets a rush based on it can only be mitzar people to zimun if they're Jewish. If they're non-Jewish, let them recite the bracha achrona, but they can't bench mezumin. So the question is, what's the status of the kusim? So the Mishnah says, HaKusi v'zamnim alav. The Mishnah is taking a stand that the Kusim are Geri Emes. The Gemara has an ongoing debate in the days of the time whether Kusim Geri Emes or Kusim Geri Arroyas. What's the issue? So Tosfos has a caution. Geri Emes means that they're Jewish. Geri Arroyas means that they only converted because they were attacked by lions, as the story goes in the Book of Kings in Tanakh, Sefer Melachim. So they were attacked, they were a whole nation from the city Kusa, and they were transported to Eretz Israel by a king, and then they started to be attacked by the lions, so they decided on their own that in Israel they have to be Jewish, so they converted to the Jewish religion, but they continued to worship Abba Nizar. So the lions were satisfied, the lions stopped attacking them. But the Jewish community was not satisfied, they didn't have the status of a Jew. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvah, they didn't accept the mitzvah, so that's a double pasha.
Is that a chilul Hashem?
Chil Hashem to do what?
What they did, yes, in converting and then serving the Bozar.
They didn't ask any shaylos. They were non-Jewish people. They were afraid the lions were attacking them. So they decided that the Jewish God is the God ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So they understood, like many nations of the world understood, there's more than one God and each God has his own jurisdiction. That was assumed for many generations until the Jews succeeded in convincing part of the world to the principle of monotheism. Many still don't believe in monotheism. We believe that God is, there's only one God, he's full control of everything. So these Kusim, they didn't understand. So they thought the Jewish God is in control of Eretz Yisrael and the other gods are in control of the rest of the world. So they continued to worship their God and they converted to Judaism. So there was meaningless. There was no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah, so that's for sure. The Gemara, two expressions the Gemara uses were the Geri Arroyas, because they only converted because of the alliance. So they're not Jewish. The Tosfos is bothered. All the Rishonim ask Akasha. The Gemara has a machlokes in the end of the second parak in Yevamos, around the Gimel and Beis. The Gemara has a machlokes. What if a non-Jew converts because he's afraid of the lions? The lions are attacking him, and he says he better become Jewish. He becomes Jewish. His motivation to convert was not religious; it was a side motivation. But bottom line, he converted. So there's a dispute among the Tanoim whether the Geri is, whether the conversion takes effect, and we pass him that it is good. Bottom line, he is Jewish. So if Geri Arayis are Jewish, how does the Gemara here use the two expressions, whether Kusim Geri Emes, the Jewish true Geri, or the Geri Arayis, which means non-Jewish. Even Geri Arayis are also Jewish. So Tosfos points out in Sukkah, Daf Ches Amud Beis, and other Mesichtas as well, Tosfos points out that the term Geri Arayis is used in two different meanings. in the context of the Kusim, their original conversion never had a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. They never accepted to observe any mitzvahs. So that's not a conversion. That's elementary like that. There's some rabbis in our generation in New York City, in Manhattan, very close to us. They claim that you can, a non-Jew can convert and becomes Jewish without Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So that's assumed to be the ABC of conversion, that a conversion when there's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs is meaningless. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. When the Gemara has the machlokes, and we pass in Gerei Arayos are Jewish, means a different thing. A non-Jew is in Eretz Yisrael, is being attacked by lions, and he knows there ain't no lions in Eretz Yisrael. What's going on? So he's petrified. He realizes, hey, the God is punishing him because he better convert. So he makes up his mind, okay, he's going to convert. He's going to keep all the 613 mitzvahs. So there was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, but he wasn't religiously motivated. What pushed him to convert was not because of his religious conviction, but because he was pressured into it. So bottom line, he did accept the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. In that case, we say, Geri Arayis, the Geris is valid.
Does this mean someone who converts in order to get married to a Jew, and that's a condition, would be okay according to this
Tosafot? But the evidence would be okay. It's not proper to accept such a convert l'chatchila. But the Tanaim had a dispute whether b'dieved the conversion is valid. So the accepted opinion is yes. The kulim gerim, even geri arayis. Even if what motivated him to convert was because he wanted to marry a Jewish spouse, but then lemaisa he hears about the Jewish religion and he goes along and he's going to keep the mitzvah. So if there is a kabbalah on mitzvahs, so b'dieved we say if such an no proper bezin should accept such a ger. That's what it says in the Gemara. It's not right for the Bezdin to accept such a ger. But if they accepted the ger, so we pass on that the ger is as well. So what's the machlokes satanai, whether the kusim a geri emes or geri arayis? Of course they were geri arayis. The pasuk says they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. They never had any kabbalas on mitzvahs. So Tosis explains there in Sukkah, Daf Chesem and Beis, as well as in Yevamos and other places. So Tosis explains the initial conversion of the kusim was meaningless because there was no kabbalas on mitzvahs, zero. That for sure, the original Geris was nothing. But the Tanaim had a dispute historically. What happened? How come in the period of the Tanaim, the Kusim did observe many mitzvahs? Many of the mitzvahs even observed more meticulously than the Jewish people observed. So what happened over here? Did they convert a second time over with the Kabbalah on mitzvahs? And then they decided only to observe some of the mitzvahs and other mitzvahs not? Or no, they're still converts from the original conversion, which was meaningless. And never not shuv nizgayru barotz. So that was a historical machlokes satanaim, whether the kusim geri emes or kusim geri arayis. Should we assume that shuv nizgayru b'leib shalom barotz and gomor, alo nizgayru shuv? So the accepted opinion is that yes, kusim geri emes. Mishnah says a kusi is mitzdarif, the bench mezuma. Now bizmanazeh, the din has been changed because the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Hey tells the story of Meir. Sent representatives, sent some of his students to investigate what's going on, Hagrizim, what are the Kusim doing there. So he found that there are different sects of Kusim. So some of them were worshipping the Musiyayna, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hagrizim. So because Rav Meir was Chai Shlomiyuta, this was only one sect of the Kusim. They weren't all worshipping, he didn't catch them all worshipping Avodah Zarah. Because Rav Meir is the one who's Chai Shlomiyuta. So that's why he decided that time. He's going to make a gzera. We treat all the kusim as if they're non-Jewish. Gozra aleim lias kakum gmurim l'chol divrehim. So even though the Gemara said that's Rav Meir l'shitosa, Rav Meir chayish l'miyuta, and we really don't accept Rav Meir's opinion, chayish l'miyuta, but over here we do accept his psak. He declared at that time that the kusim have the status of kakum gmurim l'chol divrehim. So bizmanazeh, we couldn't be mitzar for kusi to bench mezumim, because bizmanazeh, we treat the kusim like a nochri, and a nochri cannot be mitzar to bench mezuzah. What exactly does that mean? You treat a kusi ki nochri means lahachmir or bein lahokol bein lahachmir. So that's a further machlekes harishayim. Let's say a kusi who's a descendant from these kusim is mekadosh an isha. So you say it's like a nochri who's mekadosh an isha ain choshishim lekidushin. Or I can use the kusi as my Shabbos goy. I can ask him to turn on the lights for me on Shabbos whenever it's a situation where we would permit. Amir with a nachri, I can sell my chometz to the kusi because he's really a goy. Or if a kusi dies, he says it's not mitami ba'ohel, it's only mitami b'magam masa, not mitami ba'ohel. So that's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, the end of Nida. The Rambam writes a kusi after the gzera is no longer mitami ba'ohel. So the Rambam understands it's bein lahakol bein lahachmer. And other poskim in Ebenezer and Hilchas Kiddushin. So the Dogma of Ovid has a discussion on the Beis Shmuel. Is that true that the kusi shikidushisha and choshim lekidushin? Many Rishonim disagree with this Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos. And then you have in Yerideya, second Chelek Yerideya, Hilchos Ribbis. Is it so obvious he permitted to lend Beribbis to a Kusi? He has a din of an Aklam Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. Or was it only Lahachmer? How in the world can you say Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer? It doesn't make any sense. How can you take a person who's Jewish and declare that he's not Jewish? What's going on? So that's what the Sridi Yesh has a whole fascinating tshuva about. He says it's really based on a Pasuk and Treyosar. It's quoted in Yevamos at the end of the first parak. The Gemara talks there about the lost 10 tribes. So one opinion, the first opinion in the Gemara there, the end of the first parak in Yevamos is that Nochri Shekidishi Shebizman Azeh Choshishim LeKidushin Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim. Maybe it's from the lost 10 tribes. Maybe he's really a Jewish person. And then the Gemara says, but we don't accept that opinion. Ein Choshim LeKidushin, because the Pasuk says the lost 10 tribes assimilated and they lost the status as Jews. So there is such a concept. We usually assume once a Jew, always a Jew, and here the Gemara says that it's not so. So that's a question. That pasuk that they quoted from Treyasar, Bashem Bagadu Kibonim Zorim Yaladu, and they lost the status of Kedushas Yisrael, was that only a Hirah Shoah once in the history of the world that the Navi only says it Benegir to the Aseres HaShvatim, or does it apply? Lederis also, it's a real din Lederis. In any generation, if you have a whole group of Jews who float away so much from mainstream Judaism, that they forfeit their Kedushas Yisrael. So that's what some Rishonim say. That was the story with the Kusim, that the Rambam and a whole group of Rishonim hold that they declared the Kusim as Ka'akum Gurum V'chol Debrem Bein L'Hakul Bein L'Achmer. And then there's even yet a third opinion, that's the famous Shitas HaGoinim, that an individual Jew, a Jew who converts to another religion, loses his Kedushas Yisrael and is considered a Goy Gomer. And if he wants to become Jewish again, he has to undergo Geirus all over again. That Gratis says in Obis Deram Nosen, that's quoted in Yerideya, that Yisrael, who became a Meshumet and wants to become Jewish again, has to undergo Geirus. But we always assume that that's only a Chumer Mederabon, it's not a real Diminator. Here the Goyim assume, no, it's a real Diminator. So these are the three versions of what you, how you deal with that Pasuk, Bashem Bagodu, Kibbarim Zar Milad. The first opinion is the Pashtus and the Gemara. The first opinion is the simplest pshat, that it's only HaRasha once in the history of the world, only regarding the Aseres HaShvatim. Second opinion is the Chiddush, the Rambam, and the Pirush HaMishnayos, and a collection of other Rishonim, that even by the Kusim, any group of Jews who float away so far away from the mainstream Judaism. And then the third opinion is any Jew who converts to any other religion, he loses his Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara raises a different angle. All the Rishonim say that Bizman is that Kusi is out of the question because Rameh was goes at Dina Kakra. The Gemara over here doesn't talk about it. They all quote, all the Mishnah quote, the Gemara Chulin says like that. The Gemara here raises a different issue. Hey, isn't the Kusi an Am Haaretz? So don't we have a din? You're not allowed to be Mezamein on an Am Haaretz. So the Gemara works hard on that. So Taisa says, well, we don't follow that din. The Tap Taisa and Mem Zainim and Beis says, there's a Gemara in Chagiga, the third pair in Chagiga, Dav Chabez, Kema Mekablam Ha'idna Sadusa Miyam Haaretz. The din should really be you shouldn't accept Hagodah Seidus from an Am Haaretz because he's a Rosh Apostle Eidus. But we don't follow that din today. Keman, whose opinion do we follow? Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says we cannot be merachik the Kusim. Cannot be merachik Damei Haaretz. So Rabbi Yossi and the Gemara says we follow his opinion. Keman, mekablin ha'idna sa'aduzim Am Haaretz. We follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and that. So Tosa says that basically here, the Gemara is kashi shaloi kalocha. Gemara asks, how can you be mitzar for kusi to the mezumen? Isn't the kusi an Am Haaretz? At the end, the correct answer, Allah Almighty says, even though he is an Am Haaretz, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in Chagiga, kedei shalei hei kol echad v'yechav, ha'elech ebon ebon ali atzmo, we would be mitzar for him to the zimun. It's funny, the Gemara leaves out everything over here. The Rishonim quote, the Gemara in Chulin says that kusi mizman hazeh Rabbi Meir was gezvalin. It's what the Gemara wasn't written before the days of Rav Meir. So they're only worried about Am Haaretz. And we don't paskin like the issue of Am Haaretz. Tap Tosef. The Gemara is a pella on the double, on two accounts. After Rav Meir was Gozo Alayim Din and Kakum, and we paskin like Rav Yossi, so Am Haaretz is good. So what did the Gemara divert the whole discussion over here? Okay. The Gemara assumes that you're covering all the Masechtos at the same time. The Gemara is not assuming they're just reading the lines over here. Just read the lines over here, get the wrong impression. Okay, tomorrow we'll try to wrap up the rest of the parak. Okay, and then Thursday is the bechina. What time? 9:30.